You are listening to Agincourt Church's audio podcast. The following message, When Life Gives You Lemons, Throw a Party, is the first part in our Straight Up Jesus Life series, presented Sunday, September 18th, 2016, by Pastor Keith Smith. For more information on Agincourt Church, including service times, how to connect, and campus locations, please visit our website at onechurch.to.
Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of anything prematurely. Let it do its work so you become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way. If you don't know what you're doing, pray to the Father. He loves to help. You'll get this help and won't be condescended to when you ask for it. Ask boldly, believingly, without a second thought. People who worry their prayers are like wind-whipped waves. Don't think you're going to get anything from the Master that way, adrift at sea, keeping all your options open. Anyone who meets a testing challenge head-on and manages to stick it out is mighty fortunate. For such persons loyally in love with God, the reward is life and more life.
That's how James starts his letter. He doesn't sort of tiptoe in gradually. He just jumps right into the deep end. He says, trials. And then he says this. He says, He says, trials come in all kinds of shapes and sizes. Trials of many kinds. How many kinds of trials are there? How many kinds of trials are there in this room? Can you let me know? Here, let me give you some instructions because I'm very tech savvy. You can either text or go on a website. Instructions for one, instructions for the other. All right, so get on there, and here's what to do when you get there. Let us know, let your church family in this room know the diversity of trials, all right? When you hear the word trial, what do you think of? What kinds of trials have you been through? Just put it in a word. Put it in a word, all right? Now, while you're getting that ready, let me say something. If Agincourt Pentecostal Church is your church home and you were not here last weekend, make sure, all right? This is really pastoral direction now. Make sure you go on our website and either listen to the audio or video podcast. It's free. Of last weekend's teaching with Pastor Jonathan, because it was one of those messages that sort of helps understand when, I hand the reins of lead pastor over at our 2017, at our 60th anniversary, and I become teaching pastor, and Pastor Jonathan becomes lead pastor. Our members have already voted on that, and when that happens, you know, what is not going to change? And he talked to us about how we'll always be Christian church, evangelical church, a Pentecostal church. And then he also gave us tools for us to understand how do you determine what's a good change and a not so good change. So make sure you go on the website. Now, how are you doing? Have you figured, oh, look at this, hardship? By the way, in the middle, the largest word that you see will be the one that most people are putting in as the kind of trial that comes to their mind, all right? So hardship, a test, sadness, depression, doubt, finances, co-workers, that was someone on staff. Anyway, strength, anxiety, depression. So when you think of the word trials, what word comes to mind? Look at that, it's just overwhelming. Anxiety, struggle. You know, at the end of the service, you'll be able to see it on the screen out there because we're not going to capture them all right now, but more are going to come in. Look at and the job or difficulty, challenges. And pain and test is sort of the big ones that you're thinking of. All right, so you'll be able to see more examples of that later. But James starts out. He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you encounter trials of many kinds. Many kinds. Now, get ready for your mind to be bent into shape this morning. Because when James says that we encounter trials of many kinds, he says, consider it pure. Now, come on. Joy and trials? Is that not an oxymoron? You know, two words that don't go together, getting shoved together like pretty ugly? Genuine fake? An honest liar? Joyous trial? And then in Toronto, we've got our own oxymorons, don't we? How many have heard someone say, oh, just so many easy payments? How many have ever had an easy payment? And then rush hour, I wish. I wish it was all just in an hour in the morning, hour in the afternoon. And then what about this one in Toronto today? Talk about this as two words that don't belong together. Inexpensive house. Anyway, joyous trials are, and yet there are some Christians that cling to the concept that the ideal Christian life is a trial-free Christian life. If I'm really living for Jesus, I won't have many trials. It'll be blessing. It will be an easy pathway going forward. Listen who James is addressing here when he writes. Christians who are scattered because of persecution, you have all kinds of different trials, he says, but he says, you are my brothers and my sisters. That's who I'm writing to. My target audience are my fellow Christians, not inferior Christians because they're going through trial. You're my brothers and my sisters. And he's saying exactly what maybe he had heard Jesus say, in this world, you will have tribulation, you will have trials, but be of good cheer. You can have joy because I have overcome the world. Do you know it's Jesus himself that said, the rain falls on the just and the unjust, the righteous and the unjust. That came from Jesus. Listen, my brothers and sisters in Toronto today, you can be the best Christian ever. You can get up early in the morning and have your time with God, reading of the Bible, saying, Jesus, I want to shine for you today, and go out into a day where your car, computer, and the washing machine all break down in the same day. The rain falls on the just. Not just the unjust. You can be a student that says, I'm going to have time with God before I go to school, and God, I give you this day, and then you go to school, and your locker won't open, and you don't get into the course that you wanted to get into. James makes it clear. He doesn't say, if you have trials, he says, whenever. Christians lose their jobs, they lose loved ones, they experience storms, sickness, and car accidents. Okay, so what words then have we not looked at yet? What about consider it pure joy? Now, I think we're well taught that our outlook determines the outcome. I think we cover that well. There is that truth in Scripture, our perspective. You know, and so we come up, even people who don't know the Lord will say, you know, be optimistic. Don't see the glass as half empty. See the glass as half full. When life gives you lemonades, yeah, you're afraid to say it now after last weekend, aren't you? I looked up a few. When life gives you lemons, sell them and buy a pineapple. When life gives you lemons, add melted butter and dip lobster into it. That must have been a Maritimer. When life gives you lemons, sell them on eBay. When life gives you lemons, alter the DNA and make super lemons. When life gives you lemons, who wrote this? When life gives you lemons, squirt someone in the eye. Now, okay, that just when I read that, I brought this story. True story. A senior pastor is interviewing a potential music pastor. As part of the hours together, they go out for lunch. The potential music pastor who is being interviewed goes to put some lemon on the meal that he ordered from the menu, squeezes it, and squirts the senior pastor who's interviewing him right in the eye. Question for you, did that senior pastor hire that music pastor? Of course. He considered it pure joy. You see, is that what he's saying? Is that what he's saying? You know, just don't worry, be happy, be irresponsible. You know, don't take your responsibilities seriously. Is that what he's saying? It's like the patient in the United States, you know, where they don't have the Medicare system that we have. And he had a procedure and went home and he couldn't pay for it because of his finances. And they kept sending him bill after bill and escalating it. And finally, at the end of a year, they sent him a bill with this notation on it. This bill is now 1 year old. He sent it back with a birthday card and said, "Happy birthday." Is that what James is saying? Just have that attitude. Well, in order to see what James is saying, we need to look at the next verses. Okay, so let's look at three sections of verses from James 1 together, because they're going to explain to us how trials are opportunities for three purposes to be fulfilled in our life. All right, here's the first one. Trials are an opportunity to be shaped into wholeness. To be shaped into maturity, to become a better person. All right? Let's read about it in verses 3 and 4. Why have joy in trials? He says, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may become mature, say it with me, mature and complete, not lacking anything, nothing broken, nothing missing. Trials are an opportunity for you and I to become a better person. You do not become more patient unless you have something to be patient about, right? If you do not become kinder unless you have to have a situation where you prove that you can overcome unkindness and be kind instead. It's only in a trial that you and I become better people. How do you become more kind, loving, peace-filled, joy-filled? How do you become deeper in character? How do you become more Christ-like? One trial at a time. Amen? That was weak. I'm going to move on to my second point. All right. Trials are an opportunity to be shaped into wholeness. Secondly, he says trials are an opportunity to have a deeper experience of God's love and wisdom. Okay, watch this now. When you go through a trial, how many have ever been in a trial and you learned something about God that you never knew before, and it was because of what you were going through? There's where we're at. Here's what he says. He says you'll get wisdom that you never even knew of before. If any, in the context of a trial, the very next verse, he says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. There's a beautiful, fulfilling depth in God that is only discovered when you go through a tough time. You know, I was having lunch this past week with a pastor who's been wanting to get together with me forever, and we were up in Markham where he pastors, and we're having lunch and we're comparing notes of, you know, church and life. And then we came to family, and I said, you know, and I was trying to explain to him what it was like to be a grandfather. Now, right away, a lot of these rooms, you're brightening up. Yeah, you understand. This dude didn't get it. He's just going to have to wait till he has grandchildren. Do you know what I'm saying? There's some things in life that we don't understand until we are in a situation. Watch this. How can you explain to someone the peace of God that passes all understanding if you can't understand it? It wouldn't be the peace that passes all understanding if you could understand it. Watch this. There are some things that God reveals to us on a need-to-know basis. It's only when we're in a trial and, God, I need help, and he reveals something of his love and his wisdom to us. Do you understand that? Isn't that amazing? You've experienced that if you follow the Lord for any length of time through a trial. All right. Trials are opportunities, number one, to be shaped into wholeness. Number two, to have a deeper experience of God's love and wisdom. And number three, trials are an opportunity to be readied to handle God's blessings, whether it's here on earth or his blessings in heaven forever. He works in us, shapes us, so we can handle heaven forever and a future blessing. Listen, some of you are going through a trial right now, and how you handle it will determine how God blesses you down the road. Do you see that? He's not going to give you something that you cannot handle. any more than my grandson who thinks he knows how to drive and he's not even 2 years old is going to get the keys and the steering wheel. Do you know what I'm saying? He waits until we are ready to handle something. God uses trials to get us ready for future blessing. Now, think of your favorite hero in the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament. You know, Abraham and Sarah, Ruth and Esther. Esther's really good. And then think of, you know, think of Daniel, Job. Remember the trial he went through? We love to hear the outcome. We love to hear the outcome. But think of all the trials that they went through to get to a place where they could handle that outcome. It's those who persevere. Let's look at verse 12. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. It's those who persevere under trial. They don't quit. Now, sad to say, there are people who start following Jesus and then just give up. They squander all three of these opportunities. How? They quit. They say, oh, I'm going to follow God because he forgives me and he will bless me and do all. And then they hit a trial and they say, I didn't sign up for this. Why, God? I quit. James describes the spiritual condition in verses 6 to 8 of a person who misses those opportunities. Look at the words I've highlighted. They're blown. They're tossed. They're double-minded. They're unstable. They just doubt. Now watch this. It's not a sin to doubt, but there's a doubt that leads you in a search of truth, and then there's a doubt where you just say, I'm going to opt out. I didn't really want God. I wanted God to do what I wanted. I didn't want to have to exercise faith. I want to have God doing everything that I understand. I don't want to exercise faith. It's really the difference, watch this, between someone who trusts God and someone who tries God, right? It's the difference between someone who says, you know, you can have this much of my life, Lord. And if you do a good job with that, maybe I'll negotiate and give you more. Someone who, on the other hand, who says, you are Lord of all. You are Lord of every area of my life. And because, as Pastor Jonathan led us on the understanding of, you gave everything for us on the cross. If you give everything for me, you gave your all, I can trust you with my all. Amen? I can trust that kind of God with everything. You know, we sing that song around here that says, through the storm, he is Lord, Lord of all. Some of the words are, my anchor holds within the veil. Every time we sing that song, I want to jump up in front of you and say, do you understand what that means? Because we sing it with such good, my anchor holds within the veil. What does it mean? I don't know. It sounds good, though. It sounds like my anchor. So, well, you know what an anchor is, but what does that mean to have an anchor holding securely within a veil? See, you don't know. Not one word. No. Hebrews 6, 19, 20. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain, where our forerunner, the veil is the curtain, behind the veil, the curtain, where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. How many understand when Jesus Christ died on the cross, the very presence of God, the curtain dividing in the Old Testament tabernacle and then temple that divided the outer and inner court from the Holy of Holies, the most holy place, the very presence of God, it was torn. And Jesus said, you can all come in now because I paid the price of admission. I've given my life on the cross. And so when we sing it now, we say, listen, if you trace the rope that's attached to my anchor and you follow it, you will find that I am anchored in Jesus Christ. My whole life is in him. He, in him I live and move and have my being. He is my everything. He is my all. I am anchored in him. My anchor is not in society, in religion. My anchor is in Jesus Christ. And I when you find me in a trial, one thing that won't change, and that is where my anchor is. Amen? My anchor holds within the veil. So it holds me secure in the storm. And so I want to ask you, before we pray, three questions about your trials, all right? Three questions. You either are in one now, or you're going to be going through one. So take. By the way, so many were asking me for clarification on finishing notes. If you don't get them all here, make sure you go on the website, because all the notes are given you there. I should have reminded people of that this morning. So three questions for you about your trials. The first one, are you wasting them? Are you wasting them? Are you squandering your trials? You see, if trials are really opportunities for me to become a better person, to become more whole, more mature, if a trial is an opportunity to discover a depth of God's love and have Him speak to me about wisdom that I'll never find out anywhere else other than in a trial, and if a trial is an opportunity for me to be readied for a future blessing and readied for heaven, wow, I don't want to miss that. So I'm asking you, are you wasting your trials? Because trials are the way that God does all three of those, fulfills all three of those purposes. So are you wasting them? Now, the natural reaction for me and for you, when we're hit with a trial, what do? Me, I want to avoid them. Number two, I want to get out of them ASAP, right? But James is sort of bending our minds back into the right shape here. He says, trials are opportunities. Do not waste them. Let me illustrate this, okay? Because it does mean a change of mind. Watch this. In order to experience healing, first of all, you have to have? Yeah. In order to experience a solution, you first of all have to have a? In order to experience wholeness and maturity, first of all, you have to have a trial. Trial. See, in order to get that, I have to have this. So what would you say to someone in your community group this week when you get together if they said, oh man, one thing about me, I love cooking. I want to be an excellent cook. But they refuse to ever go into a kitchen. What would you say to someone in your community group? They said, oh, I love basketball. I hope one day to make it in the NBA. But they stayed out of basketball courts. You know where I'm going now, don't you? What would you say to someone who said, I want to become more and more like Jesus. I want to grow and become a person of deeper character. I want to be more Christ-like. But they refused to hang around when a trial came their way. How many know they're missing the opportunity? They're wasting those trials. Now, before we go any further, let's meet three people. We'll come back and meet at the end of our teaching time, and we'll see how they did with their trials. All right? Let me tell you, three quick stories of people, real-life stories of people who went through trials. Pastor Jonathan and I were at the Ontario Prayer Breakfast in downtown Toronto just a couple of months ago. The testimony was at the prayer breakfast was of this committed Christian. His story was one of a new immigrant to Canada, got married, had a family here, lived up in Markham. He had a very low income at the beginning years here in Canada, but he tithed of his income to the Lord with a heart of worship and wanting to expand the kingdom of God. His business grew over time, but watch this. And he told us, didn't he, Pastor Jonathan, all the biblical principles that he follows in his business and how he treats his employees. And it was just like an amazing story. And then he told us how his business, which was listed on the Toronto Stock Exchange, became the victim of a short attack. Those who are in the investment industry will understand what that is. You know, making up stuff to sort of bring the price of a stock down so that they can make money off of it out of greed as the price comes down. And then his wife got cancer. And so we're going to check in on him later and see how he did with his trial, okay? Second story is of a woman who, during the Nazi invasion of Holland, was hiding Jewish people so that they wouldn't have to go to a concentration camp. Guess who was discovered and put into a concentration camp? She was, and her sister Betsy, and her sister died in that. They snuck in a Bible. They had times of prayer together. They were trusting God. to bring them through this. Anyway, we'll check in on her and see how she did later with her trial. The third person I want you to meet right now is a person who was very close to me, a mentor in my life. They came from a single parent home. They became a Christian in their late teens. They served in the church as a volunteer in their young adult, all through their life. And then they went into early retirement to, at their own expense, go and help missionaries out on the mission field. And they got cancer when they were 63, and by the time they were 64, they had passed away, gone to be with the Lord. Let's just see how, when they got, after serving God all those years, how they handled that trial. We'll check in with them later and find out if they wasted their trials. But I want to ask you, first of all, are you wasting your trials? Your trials are opportunities. Are you wasting them? Second question for you, or for me and you, do I have what it takes to become better because of my trials? All right? Do I have what it takes? Does God supply? Well, James says you need to have, there's sort of three prerequisites. You need to have these three on your checklist and check them off. This is what you have to have. Number one, you have to have a tough trial. How many got that covered? You have to have a tough trial. Isn't it Chuck Swindoll that said, we are either in the middle of a trial or God is getting us ready for the next one? So you have to have a tough trial. Secondly, you have to have a good God. How many, as you sang this morning, and as Pastor Jonathan led us in the affirmation of, God is good. Amen? God is good. And so I love the way James introduces God here. He says, he will give you wisdom. When you're in a trial, he'll give you wisdom, and he'll give it not sparingly, but generously. And I love this. It goes on to say, without finding fault. Listen, he knows you're going to mess up and sometimes have difficulty persevering in the trial, but he won't find fault with you. He's just there with generous wisdom. He is a good God. And how many also know that he will not give us more than what we can handle? Remember the Bible says that? He will not give us more than what we can bear. I love the response of one woman. She said, I know God won't give us more than what we can handle. I just wish he didn't trust me so much. Do I have what it takes to become better because of my trials? You have to have a tough trial. You have to have a good God. And third, you have to add your own personal trust. You have to add my trust. Am I going to trust my good God through this tough trial? So that's the third question. Do I trust God to bring good out of my trials? It'd be a lot easier if James had said, consider it partial joy, my brothers and sisters. You know, consider it 50% misery, 50% joy. That'd be a lot easier to handle. But he says, consider it, what kind of joy? Pure. No artificial flavors. Preservatives added. Just pure joy. But is he saying trials are good? No, no. Trials are miserable. Trials are trials. They're tough times. We don't go longing and looking for trials. They're going to come our way. But what James is teaching us here, and I want to spend a couple of minutes now fastening this down. It's what you're going to go out the door with, and maybe you've never seen this from the message of James before, because as I said earlier, we all know that the outlook will help determine the outcome. Having a positive attitude will help bring about a positive result. We all know that. What about this? What about the outcome determining your outlook? What about trusting God so much with the outcome that you let that determine your outlook? He said, tell me when that happened. What about Jesus? Pastor Jonathan read from Isaiah what Jesus went through, the separation from his Father. He's innocent, he's pure, and he has all of our sick impurities, perversions piled upon him. He who was without sin became sin for us. I mean, there he is. Now, Jesus' crucifixion was the very worst trial that any human being has ever experienced. Did Jesus have joy in that trial? Some of you want to say, no way, right? Listen to Hebrews. Listen to Hebrews. Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame. Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, which he had yet to go through. He let the outcome determine his, say it, outlook. Do you know what the joy was for Jesus? The joy was, I go to the cross, I die. It's my mission. I'm paying the price for all of humanity so that whoever wants to humbly turn and have a second chance, they can have it. They can be forgiven of their sins and go to heaven forever. That was the, listen, you here in the service in Toronto today were the joy that was set before Jesus. He saw you as the outcome, and he let the outcome determine the. Some of you still aren't getting it. He let the outcome determine the outlook. You know, how many noticed a lot of lemons in the lobby? If you're like me, I walked right through, I didn't even notice them because I'm such a good pastor. My eyes are always just on people. I don't see. But I did notice them out here, and they're out there too because I'm told they are. It sort of makes you wonder with a message like this, if you have lemons all over the place coming in, what's it going to be like going out? Huh? I'll give you a little clue that when you head out today, what you experience is the outcome of these lemons, and it's not lemonade. And it will help remind you this week that your outcome determines your. Say it aloud together with me. Your outcome determines your outlook. All right, let's go back and visit. Let's check in on these three who were going through trials. This businessman. Oh, by the way, I need to tell you this. This is good. Listen to this. I found this. Listen. Faith is living in advance what you'll only understand in reverse. Isn't that good? So that's what Jesus did. He just went ahead and had joy before he went to the cross. Faith is living in advance what you'll only understand in reverse. That's letting the outcome determine your outlook. All right, let's get to this businessman. He's living for Jesus. He's raised his family in the ways of the Lord. He's earned money in his business. His company's listed on the Toronto Stock Exchange. And then he's a victim, his company is a victim of these short attacks from greedy manipulators, false stories, manipulating the stock price. Then his wife is diagnosed with cancer. His name is Prem Watsa. He's the CEO of Fairfax Financial. And Fairfax stands for fair and friendly acquisitions. That's what the name Fairfax stands for. It presently has over $30 billion in assets, that company. Well, he was talking about when he told his story with Pastor Jonathan and I and a whole lot of other people in the room at the Ontario Prayer Breakfast. He told about how during this time where he's been hit in the middle of the trial, he was reading James and he got onto the elevator and one of his fellow executives was there and he said, Paul, consider your trials pure joy. And Paul replied, he said, I thought you were losing it. Now I know that you are. You know what he said his favorite life verse is? What will it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? How many know billions can't buy you out of a trial? But what impressed us as we went away from there on the subway, as we talked about it, was how he had matured. He could have gone sour on God, sour as a lemon. Instead, he became a better, more faith-filled Christian because of his trust in the Lord. And thank God he lived long enough to see the blessing of God. But even if he had his own soul in the presence of Jesus Christ forever and forever. Amen? Then the second story. Some of you heard us during our forgiveness series talked about Corrie ten Boom and how she and her sister Betsy were in a concentration camp for protecting Jews during that time of the Holocaust. And they prayed together, God deliver us. Her sister Betsy died, but when she writes about it, she says she died with a smile on her face. And she said, before she died, she said this, listen to this, there is no pit so deep, but that his love is not deeper still. Wow. Do you think she would have experienced that revelation of God's love and wisdom had she not gone through that extreme of a trial? Isn't that amazing? Never forget that. There is never any trial, no pit so deep, but that his love is not deeper still. So Prem Watsa knew what it was to say, I mature in this trial. The outcome determines my outlook. Here again, she's saying, God is good. I trust him. That outcome is going to determine my outlook. The third example is a man who was raised in a single-parent home, gave his life to Christ in his late teens, and was the real deal as a Christian, volunteered in the church all of his life, was a great Christian leader, went into early retirement to go into missions, and that man was my dad. He got cancer in his early 60s, and we just thought, we'll pray, and God will heal him. And I remember my brother saying, he came from Halifax, we were both there with Dad together one time, and my brother and I were walking away, and my brother said, you know, if there's anyone that deserves to be healed, it's Dad, isn't it? You know, just in terms of just the life that he had led and his love for the Lord. And yet Dad was not healed. He went through three surgeries. I remember in Ottawa, where I was pastoring, getting the phone call with my sister, holding the phone up to his head so he could talk to me. And he just said, Keith, because he had tubes all, you know, through. And he said, Keith, I'm going to go to be with the Lord now. And I thought, now? Like, you just give me a last minute call here, you know, what am I? So I said, Dad, I'm coming out to see you, because the board had put in a special motion. Anytime the pastor wants to go see his father, he's to go. They met without my permission to do that too. But anyway, they, as chairman of the board, they met without me, but they put that in place. I flew out to see Dad and spent quite a week with him as I saw his surgeon who had operated on him three times come in and see him every day and be ministered to by Dad. And Dr. Shirley came to me at the end of the funeral service, the homegoing celebration, and he said, I understand your dad's faith now. I hope to see him in heaven now too. Isn't that wonderful? So good. And then every person that would come in, sometimes because Dad was on morphine and he was coming in and out, and I'd say, Dad, you need to just say goodbye to these people. You know what he would say? He'd point up like this. He'd say, see you again. See you again. People been praying. I thought God would heal them. And I remember just after day of this, and I would sleep in the hospital just on the floor beside his bed at night taking my shift. And one night, Dad was awake, and I just said, Dad, I'm a pastor. I've helped all kinds of people through trials. I've been through some dillies myself. But, Dad, how are you doing this? How are you doing this? You're in pain. It's severe at times, and God's not healing. Just how are you doing it? And here's what he said to me. He said, Keith, here's what I've learned. When you go through a trial, you love him and you praise him and you trust him. And then he said, Keith, and you know what? Then there'll be another trial. But you know what you do? You love him and you praise him and you trust him through that one. And then you know what, Keith? I think I see a pattern.
You were
here, Dad,
listening to the Agent Court Church podcast.
I'm getting it. And I remember him turning over in bed just
make
with
sure
the pain.
Make sure you don't miss a message by subscribing to this podcast.
Sleep. I thought he'd gone back to sleep.
Click the subscribe button on our website at onechurch.to.
And then you know what, Keith?
Or search for Agent Court Church in the iTunes store.
I know, Dad. I said it with you love
all creative content and production for this podcast is provided
that
by the One Church Creative
Keith,
team.
That's how it's done. You know, my worst trials in this life, Esther and I remember that. And remember, that's what you do. That's what you do. And how many know my dad has his glorious body, cancer-free, and he's in heaven with Jesus forever? Amen? How many, the worst that can happen to a Christian is they die. What happens when you die? Because Jesus Christ rose from the dead and we are anchored in him, we shall live also. Amen? And so this is like, that's the outcome. That's the outcome. So we let the, you have to say it loud and together with me, you let the outcome determine your outlook. So don't waste your trials, dear one. Don't waste your trials. He'll give you what it takes. Listen, if he brought you to it, he'll get you through it. He'll give you what it takes. But yours is to trust him. To say, Lord, I trust you because you are good, and all that you have done for me in Jesus Christ, I am anchored in you. I'm going to love you and trust you and praise you through this one. Amen and amen. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we? Thank you, Lord, that you know what it's like to go through trials. And when we go through them, Jesus, you are with us and you are good. And you will give us what we need. Help those in this room that are going through a trial right now. Help them to not miss the opportunities that they have on their spiritual doorstep.
You were listening to the Agent Court Church Podcast. Make sure you don't miss a message by subscribing to this podcast. Click the subscribe button on our website at onechurch.to or search for Agent Court Church in the iTunes Store. All creative content and production for this podcast is provided by the One Church Creative Team.